welcome to Books Unbound. We've decided that this is going to be our best episode
the
ever.
The best one. You should have seen the manic look in Ariel's eyes when she started talking just now. That was hilarious.
I was like, here I go. I don't remember if it's Raylene's turn or my turn to host, but I'm just jumping in with
I'm
the energy.
I'm glad because I feel just sapped of all brain power, energy. I spent the morning getting my tires swapped so I could have my winter tires on, which involved, you know, carrying tires to and from my car, which was not fun.
Right.
I'm tired now. My back hurts. And also, we talked to a person at the bank about our mortgage. Mm-hmm. So that was a really fun morning for me. Woo! So,
yeah.
That's where I'm at, packing.
Mm. It's pretty funny that over the... Like, that this podcast has chronicled both of us buying houses.
I know, I love that. We didn't think it was possible, but look at us go.
It's gone through me recording in the car to you in your era right now. I do think, I mean, people can't hear. They don't, nobody, I'm sure, can tell really the difference in the episodes, but the beginning of our episodes have been really different in the last month because... It always starts with Raylene's husband, Kyle, asking some mortgage-related email question. And Raylene goes, I don't know. Email someone. I have to record the podcast. That's literally happened every week for the last month. So I can feel that it's the topic over there. It will come to an end. But
yeah, it's
like
just,
I said,
it's
everyone,
everything right now. It's all we've got going on.
It doesn't matter, though, because this episode's going to be so good.
You're right.
That all your stresses will wash away.
It's true. And when we record next week, it will be 2 days before we move. So I'm sure I will be completely chill and relaxed during that episode as well. So that'll be fun for us.
Wow. That's very...
Isn't that terrifying?
That's going to be such a bad
episode. I'm going to be literally signing our purchase on Monday as well. Like, oh, it's a big day.
Oh, wow.
It's a big day.
That is a big day. Yeah. That is a big day, but it's an exciting day.
I know. I'm pretty pumped.
Has anything more exciting than your tire change happened this week?
Not really. Like, we packed. Like, we're not completely packed, but we did a lot of packing on Saturday. And then yesterday we did some kind of deep cleaning in some
nice.
Of the corners that we have never once looked at in this place.
Yes.
And we're just trying to make it, you know, look normal again before we move out so that we can get our security deposit back. Woo, that'll be nice.
Yeah.
I guess the only other thing was I had a little birthday party on Friday with my friends.
Yes.
So that was cool.
That was so cool.
Yeah.
Tell everyone about the theme.
So we're kind of weird. We've sort of like gone into this era where we love dressing up for like just gatherings with the three of us. So it's like not even a big party. It's not like Halloween yet. We're having a great time dressing up. So it's kind of hard, a long story to explain how this all kind of came to be. But basically from one of my friend's birthdays, which was last month, we like got all dressed up, did this whole theme that, you know, doesn't make any sense unless I explain everything. So I'm not going to do that. But we dressed up. It was so funny. And then, so I knew that something was going to happen for my birthday party, but I didn't know what it was going to be because it's something either like related to my birthday or related to my Enneagram or related to, you know, like we have all these different ways that it could have gone. The last one was an Enneagram birthday. We went off of Enneagram.
Amazing.
But so I didn't know what they were going to do. And then Kyle gets this text like a few days before the party that was, hey, just wondering how much Raylene likes peanut butter. Does she like it in sweet or savory? And Kyle was like, what is this? And I was like, oh, it's a clue. It's a clue. It's something about my birthday
party. I love that Kyle instantly betrayed the secrecy.
He didn't realize who, because it was from an unknown number. I was like, oh, apparently he doesn't have her number in his phone. So it was just this weird text, but it had my name in it. So I was like, I know what this is about. This is hilarious.
Yeah.
So anyways, I knew there was something to do with peanut butter. And then I was asking, what should I wear? Like, just tell me what kind of clothes I should wear for this party. And I received many photos of, like, kind of heavy metal / vampire looking people. Lots of black, leather, you know, that kind of vibe. And it was like, okay, peanut butter and heavy metal. I don't know what I'm supposed to take away from this. So anyways, I got all dressed up in my most rocker look that I could. I showed up.
It was
up.
A great look.
Thank you.
A lot of eyeliner, a lot of black lipstick.
It was really fun, yeah. That's the most fun part is because it's like, these are looks that I would never wear in any other context. Because I'm not into the heavy makeup look, but it's fun to do it every once in a while. So yeah, I got all dressed up. I showed up. There was tons of different food. All of them involved peanut butter. And I finally was like, can you just explain to me what is happening? So apparently my birthday, it might even be my birth month or birth week for some of these things, but basically one of them, it's like National Peanut Butter Day or something. And then also like, what was it, like Symphonic Metal Month or something like that. So like these really weirdly specific things. One of the other things that I think is on my actual birthday is Indian Pudding Day, which they didn't do for some reason. I don't know.
Okay.
Maybe that was too hard. That's fair. But yeah, so that was my weird little birthday party. And we just gathered. We actually ended up making Christmas tree ornaments, which was kind of a funny contrast to the way we were dressed. But yeah, it was a nice little evening. So I had a good time. It was nice to have like one last hurrah kind of before all the crazy moving stuff begins. So it was really fun. And one of my friends got me a couple of books. So.
Oh, yeah. I see. Well, that'll swing around then, huh?
Yeah, exactly. It'll come back around.
I think that that is such a fun idea for somebody's birthday, because like I've never thought to look up what the national days,
and
I'm
know.
Putting that in quotations, but what the national days are for my birthday.
Yeah.
But they're always like National Hot Dog Day. That's my dad's favorite national day.
Are you looking up yours to see what there is
Yeah,
for
now
you?
I am. September 27th, National Day. Let's see. National Day of Forgiveness. That's really nice.
Well, then it's like, try and incorporate that into a theme of some kind. How do you make that a theme?
It's also National Chocolate Milk Day.
Oh, that's perfect for you.
I love chocolate milk.
Yes, you do. She loves it.
That should be a tradition. I didn't even know. I didn't even know that I could be celebrating my birthday with chocolate milk. From now on, I will drink a glass of chocolate milk. What? So yeah, there's National Day of Forgiveness. Oh my God, National Scarf Day.
Oh, hello. See, now that's what I'm talking about. Like, wear as many scarves as you can.
Wear scarves. National Corned Beef Hack Day.
There's always some
weird
ones.
That's something I'm willing to look past. National Crush a Can Day. This day was created to help educate people about the benefits of recycling, and there's a picture next to it of someone crushing a can in their hand.
Oh my God, I love that. Okay, I'm looking at mine now to see some other inspirations that my friends could have taken. One is National Hug a Musician Day. What's that all about? I don't understand that. International Tongue Twister Day.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Sadie Hawkins Day, apparently, is my birthday as well. Oh, yeah. And then we've got Symphonic Metal here at the bottom. That is hilarious. So we were listening to specifically Symphonic Metal, which I didn't know what that was before Friday, but I actually kind of like it. It's pretty great.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
I think that's so fun. I love the idea of finding any excuse to just have a theme. I love a theme.
It makes it way more fun. We've also been doing movie nights, and we've been dressing up for the movie nights. So we watched Reservoir Dogs a couple of weeks ago, and I didn't know anything about that movie. But my friend was like, just either you have to wear all one color, or we have to dress up like mobsters. And I was like, I don't understand why, but I will accept that. And I dressed up like a mobster. And then we watched the movie, and I understood what it always was all about. So
that's so sick.
It's just
fun. I actually just sent out, like a couple days ago, via text message, but I still made it very pretty. I sent out an invitation to my first ever Christmas party.
At your house?
It's not going to be at my house. It's going to be at an Airbnb.
Oh, that's funny.
in the city that we're renting out. So that people, because most of our friends so far that we know in Nova Scotia are from Halifax. So, yeah, I feel bad making people drive out. But regardless, I'm so excited. I love a party. I love decorating for a party. Mm-hmm. I love a theme. And so I decided to do three things for this party. And I kept thinking of more. And I was like, I think three is enough. So number one, you have to wear red or green.
See? Amazing. See? That's a good
start. I'm like, it's a Christmas party. Okay, what are you doing if you're not wearing red or green? You must. Number two, you have to bring a Christmas ornament. It can be super cheap. Like, it can be a dollar. You could make it. No, so what I'm going to do is, I feel like, first of all, it's just a fun activity so that when people come in, I'm like, show me your Christmas ornament. What's the story behind it? And then hang it on a tiny tree I'm going to buy. And then what I'm going to do is I'm going to have a bunch of light, like a bunch of Christmas lights on the tree. And I'm going to have a tree lighting ceremony, and we'll all take a shot at the tree lighting ceremony.
No, that's a party.
I feel like, that's so cute. And I don't know how I thought about it, but I just thought it would be such an adorable little idea. There's also going to be quite a few people at this party that don't know each other, like from different areas.
Oh, yes. You got to get everybody to mingle.
Yeah. And so I'm like, that's a good little icebreaker. What's your ornament about? Right? So I feel like that's a nice little thing.
That's so cute.
And then the third thing, I'm flat out stealing from our friend Kaylee, who runs our Instagram. She invited me to her Christmas party, and sadly, I can't go. It's in New York, and I was like, you know, maybe I will fly. Do you remember earlier this year I flew to her birthday party?
Yes. Yeah, you're a mad
So I was
woman.
Like, maybe I will also fly to her Christmas party. It turned out I can't work out with the dates, but on her invitation, she's doing, you know, like a white elephant. Like, if you want to, can bring a present, and then they're all wrapped, and then everybody gets to pick one.
Mm-hmm.
But it's very specifically only candles.
Oh, that's awesome.
And I was like, I love
that. Makes
that
it
idea
easy because to choose the gift, for sure.
Yes, exactly.
That's something that always freaks me out about that. It's like, how do you choose something that anyone might like?
Yeah, exactly. And like with candles, you can get really nice, good smelling candles for like $4.
Yeah.
Or you can go really fancy and get like a $30 candle,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, that's good range.
So this totally gives it to people to just not have to spend too much money. And then at the end, you get a cool candle, get a fun scent. I feel like it's going to be really fun. I loved the idea when I saw Kaylee doing it. So I was like, I am stealing that. So I've got these three elements. Oh, I'm very excited about those activities, and then I'm really excited to decorate for the party and to make like ginger cookies for the party. So
you're making me want to have a Christmas party now, which is possible. It could be like a homewarming Christmas party.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah,
that's sort of what we're doing, because we're gonna be staying at this Airbnb for, it's kind of like a long-term rental Airbnb thing, and so we're kind of also doing it as a apartment warming. Anyways, I know. And so look at us with our little parties. We're so cute.
I know.
I'm trying to think if there's anything fun going on, has been going on. I'm doing way better from COVID. I feel like last week when we recorded, you could kind of hear it in my throat, and I was just kind of low. I'm feeling definitely like recovered from it for sure. So that's a relief. My parents celebrated their 30th wedding anniversary.
Aww.
And it was just the sweetest thing ever. It was so lovely to go. We went to one of their favorite pubs in Halifax, and then one of their favorite restaurants for dinner, and just had a really lovely time. And at dinner, one of my brother's friends, she asked my parents, like, so how did you guys meet? And it was the perfect question, because they have the most epic love story of all time.
Yeah.
You know, and it was so beautiful for them to get to celebrate it. And then they're now on a big trip. They took the train to Montreal.
Oh, that's so cute.
And that's,
I didn't know they were going on a trip too. That's a little, I love
it's
that.
It's a sleeper car trip. Oh, nice. So they have to sleep overnight on the train, which is so cool. And I'm so jealous. And I can't wait to hear what they think about it. Because if they like it, I'm going to do it. But yeah, I was really happy for them. So it was cool. It's very interesting this year, like with my great aunt's 100th birthday, my parents' 30th anniversary. It's just like all of these big milestones and stuff. Other than that, yesterday I wallpapered my bedroom.
I did see that. This looks
huge.
So beautiful.
Thank you. I was so anxious about it. Like, because I already love my bedroom.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think it's really a sweet, sweet room. But I had this idea to do wallpaper, and then I found this perfect wallpaper, and I was like, I just think this will look fantastic. But I'm like, it's kind of expensive, and it's a lot of work. And I was like, I don't know. And then I couldn't pick what wall to do it on. And I finally was like, I just have to freaking commit. So I just did it last night. And every single time that I've walked into the bedroom, I go, oh, it's beautiful.
Oh, that's
it's
what you
so
want.
Pretty.
Yeah.
It's so pretty. So I'm really happy about that. That was a lot of work. So
yeah.
No, that's a little aerial update. But now let's shift over to, I guess, the theme of this book podcast, which is books. I'd love to hear a little update from you, Raylene, on what books have made your week. Huh?
Yeah, so I'll start with the books that I'm hauling, because in terms of the stories I'm experiencing or whatever, however you phrased it a few months ago when you didn't read any books, that's what I'm doing now. So I will talk about that after. And I mean, the haul is going to be kind of quick because it's just random. But my friend beautifully bought me two of the Dark Tower Stephen King books in the gorgeous trade paperback editions. Funnily enough, she has bought me 5 out of the 7 so far. I have not bought a single one for myself because she keeps finding them at thrift stores. And so she found them at a book sale, actually, that I wasn't able to go to. That was just like a few weeks ago. I was like, you know what? I'm moving. I shouldn't go to a book sale. And she was like, I shouldn't go either, but I will. And I was good for me because she found two of these books for me and they're gorgeous. So yeah, I got Wizard in Glass and The Dark Tower, if anybody's wondering. So now I'm just looking for book 5 and 6. And so yeah, that feels really nice because it's funny. I feel like I had kind of like read most of the Stephen King books, especially the ones that I owned. Like, I only have like 3. And now all of a sudden I'm like, wait a minute, I've got the entire Dark Tower trilogy that I have. Right. Like, I read the first one years ago, but I never continued. So I actually have this giant gap in my Stephen King knowledge that I'm going to have to fix. Maybe maybe next year if I actually... I really want to, like, actually read fantasy next year because I really meant to do it this year and I did not.
I know, yeah.
I want to just let go and be like, I'm going to read 20 books this year and that's it. And they're all going to be fantasy.
Yeah.
Like, I want to just...
And they're all
let fantasy. Loose. Be a new person in my new house. We'll see.
Wow.
We'll
see what happens. I love that.
So, yeah. So
I'm going to interrupt
you right there.
Have you been thinking at all a little bit about making that into an official goal for next year?
Like just to read more fantasy?
Yeah, like maybe you have to read one fantasy a month or anything like that.
Oh, that's a good idea.
Like,
yeah, I haven't thought about it yet, but I really should because I need some structure because if I let myself go loose, I just don't do it. I think the other thing is I don't actually own that many fantasy books that I want to read. Like my collection is kind of small. So I almost feels like I'm going to, if I read them, then they're all gone. So I think that's part of the
problem.
What
if it's like... What if the challenge was like every month you get to buy a fantasy book and read it? So that'd be kind of
that would be really cute. Cool. That would be, that'd really, be really cool cute. And cute. Because yeah, I have a couple of first books in series, so I could always read those. Yeah. And then if I like it, grab the second book. And I think, yeah, I think some of them have full trilogies out now. So that's a fun goal. I'll definitely think about that.
Very interesting.
You're pushing me towards greatness and I appreciate it. yeah, so as far as stories I've been experiencing, have not been reading anything, but I have been, oh, this is actually really fun, I've been re-listening to the podcast My Dad Wrote a Porno, which is technically a book.
So is it?
Yeah, because
I think you might have mentioned it.
It's technically many books. I'm on season 3 right now. Each like season of the show is another book, like another installment in the series, and there are 6 out so far. And I listened to book 6 a few months ago, and then just recently I was like, you know what? I want something comforting that I can listen to that'll make me happy, make me laugh, and I don't necessarily have to listen to too closely because I've already listened to it. And so I was like, you know what? I'm just going to start it again. So that's what I've been listening to. And it is the funniest podcast ever. Like, it is just pure ridiculousness. It's so funny and so comforting for me personally because I love the story already. But yeah, it's just like wild, wild stories. But yeah, so I've listened to 3 of those in the past few weeks. So there's a couple of books. And then I've just been playing more Spiritfarer. So I just wanted to give you an update. Spiritfarer is still incredible. The story's really good. But it's also like... It's kind of funny because the story all takes place like on this boat and my boat just keeps getting bigger and bigger. Like you're able to upgrade it so that it can kind of smash through more things and like go faster. And so now I've just got this enormous, enormous monster of a boat and I just feel out of control. it's really wild. I don't know how to explain it, but I've got this big boat and it's kind of overwhelming.
I've got this big boat.
Yeah.
But I love that though.
Yeah. I'm like 50. I think I'm at 50% of the way through all the achievements now. Which is like, okay, it took me a long time to get there. So the game is really worth the money you spend on it because it's like $35, I think. So I put off buying it for a long time because I was like, that's a little expensive, but you get a lot of play out of it. So I highly recommend it if you want something that's very immersive and has a great story. Might make you cry, just might. It's a pretty emotional story, but it's also weirdly hilarious. Like some of the side characters will just like say things sometimes and you're like, what? That's hilarious. So it's a really fun game. I really think you would like it specifically, but also to the listeners, I think.
The listeners.
It's awesome. Yeah. It's got like farming and stuff too. Like it's got some kind of mechanics that I feel like if you like Stardew Valley, you might like certain elements of it. It's very different from Stardew, but I would say there's enough crossover that if you're a fan of one, you'll probably like the other.
I love that. I have literally had it on my Switch for like 2 years and just haven't played it yet. Mm. So it's definitely been very motivating to hear how much you're loving it.
Yeah.
I want to play it
soon. I think you should play it. But yeah, it's a very like all in kind of game. Like it, you, once you start playing it, you're like, oh, I have to do that. And I have to do that. And I have to do that. It's sort of like Stardew. Yes. When you first start a Stardew farm, there's like so many things to do. And I've played, I think, 26 hours of Spiritfarer now, and I'm still doing that. It's like, oh, I have to go over there. So once you play it, it's kind of hard to put it down. So keep that in mind.
I love that. Okay, well, I guess I'll do a little update on the game I was playing, which was Potion Permit,
if you
remember. I definitely think I talked about that. I'm still enjoying it, and I definitely am going to finish it. Like, I'm like feeling like it's definitely fun. It's definitely immersive. I am enjoying it, and I want to beat it. Yeah. I want to finish it. But I don't think it's going to join the rank of my top favorite games. What I've realized about this game is two things. That, like the two main things that I'm not in. Three main things I'm not enjoying. Okay, here we go. Number one. Way too much story.
Oh, interesting.
Like, so many cutaways where I'm like in the middle of playing and then it's just like, okay, another 2 minutes where I have to just read a bunch of dialogue about these little villagers' lives and I don't care. And there's just, it's so much of the game is these cutaways and you can't progress unless you do the cutaway and you can't progress on it. And I'm like, I don't care about that. I want to do the challenges and the little mini games and stuff like that. I don't care about the progression of this village. Second thing is it's really grindy. So it's like to do the next thing, you need 2,000 pieces of wood and 2,000 pieces of stone. And you're just like, good God, I'm just going to spend an hour chopping down trees. Yeah. And it's just like,
that's not fun.
That gets boring after a while. And then the third thing is that, what was the third? It's not that good at getting more difficult. So there's mini games. You're basically a chemist. You're like kind of like a doctor. You're like a chemist. You come into this little village and you're helping to heal people. And the way that you do that is with a mini game. So you have to like do a little mini game to diagnose what is their problem. Yeah. And then you do a mini game in order to create the potion that they need to get better. But then there's like a bunch of different things that go into that. There's a lot of foraging to get the materials to do the potion, stuff like that. None of those mini games have gotten harder since the beginning of the game.
That's weird.
So it's a little bit like a bit samey, a little bit like, this is not really challenging. Mm-hmm. But all of that being said, I love the look of the game. I'm obsessed with the soundtrack, actually. At first, I thought I didn't like it, but it's really grown on me. And, like, me and Connor have just been playing the music from the game when, like, making dinner and stuff.
Awesome.
And overall, it is fun. Like, I do like the minigames. I wish they'd gotten harder, but I do like them.
Yeah.
So, anyway, there's a review of Potion Permit. I'll let you know when I'm finished it, what I think.
Very cool.
But, jumping into books... Yeah. I have two books to talk about today. Ooh. I have one that I got in the mail and one that I read. So, I'll start with The Haul. So, I got Double Booked by Lily Linden. Have you heard of this one?
Uh-uh.
So, I hadn't either, and it's one of these situations where a book is published in the UK but not published anywhere else, and you can't actually really hear about it unless you follow a bunch of UK people, I guess. So my friend Lena, who we've had on the podcast, she recommended this book to me literally, I want to say, like 8 months ago.
Oh my God.
It was so long ago. It was, Raylene, I cannot emphasize how long ago it was.
Yeah.
And I actually forget why she recommended it to me. She was like, Ariel, I really think that you'd like this book. I just finished reading it and it struck me as a book you might like. Okay. And I looked it up and I thought it sounded really cute, like really, really fun. It's a rom-com.
Based on the cover, it looks like it's a romance between a cat and a dog.
It does look like that. I will post a photo of the book, of course, on the Instagram. There's a little dog and a little cat, and they're looking at each other, and one half of the book is blue, and one half of the book is pink, and it says, two lives, twice the fun. And basically, it just says, you know, there's a quote here that says, the queer rom-com I've been waiting for. It says in the synopsis, realizing she might be bisexual, Georgina and her schedule are in chaos. Torn between the safety of her old life and the freedom of a new one, she does what any rational person would do. She splits herself in two. So I don't know what that means.
She's living a double life, it sounds like.
She's living a double life. Like, in her real life, she teaches piano to children, and she's, like, really bored and miserable. It says, and then one wild night, she auditions for a famous lesbian pop band.
Ooh. I love
that. It just sounds like a fun old time, mm-hmm. right? And so I bought this book 8 months ago.
Oh.
I then remember, like, 6 months ago, I was like, wait, whatever happened to that book I bought? And I looked it up, and it turned out that I had bought the paperback that was not out yet.
Oh.
Like, I had accidentally pre-ordered a book. Yeah,
that's funny.
So I was like, oh, good Lord. Okay, well, I guess I'll just throw my hands up in the air and wait for whenever. Mm-hmm. So I genuinely forgot about this book.
That is
like,
hilarious.
I just you completely bought it so forgot long about ago. It. I thought, I just didn't think. And so the other day I got, you know, a slip from the post office that something was waiting for me. And I was like, huh. I'm not expecting anything. So I go to the post office and it's a classic book depository box.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, fun. What did I order? I don't remember.
Did I open this in my sleep?
Yeah, I open the book and I'm like, oh my God. We meet again, huh? Look who it is. So that's very funny that finally is a book that I own. There it is. It sounds like fun. It definitely does not sound like a book that I'm going to read soon because it feels more summer, like spring and summer. Mm-hmm. Like if I had gotten it back then, I'm sure I would have read it. Okay. But now let's talk about the book that I read this week.
Ooh.
I'm so excited to chat about this because it was actually a really fun adventure with me and this book. So the book I'm talking about is The English Understand Wool by Helen DeWitt. Have you heard of this one at all?
I feel like maybe Max read that recently.
Yes.
Okay.
He did. And here's where the story begins.
But that's all I know. Like, I don't know anything else about it.
So our pal Max of Well Done Books on Instagram, I'll link his Instagram in the show notes because he deserves a shout out for this whole experience. I'm going to actually write that down before I forget.
Yeah,
okay. Well Done Books. Don't worry, buddy. We're linking you. Okay. So he messaged me.
Oh.
4 days ago, and he said, Ariel, I just read this book and I think you would really, really like it.
Oh,
it's the
awesome.
He said, he's like, I think it's an Ariel book. It's called The English Understand Wool by Helen DeWitt. I think you should read it. But also, he said, I don't look anything up about it. Like, it's you've got to go into this book a little blind. And I was like, huh. Okay, I'll look this book up, right? I'll look it up on, like just chapters have it. I look it up, and I see that it's only 68 pages long. And I was like, well, now I'm really intrigued.
That's really good.
I love a short book, right? And I really liked the cover. I was like, this is a very beautiful painting of cake.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, okay, I'm getting more and more intrigued. So I try to buy the book, but it says it's out of stock or something, and it's going to take weeks to get to me. And I'm like, no, I'm feeling it right now. Like, I want it now. So this was on Thursday, I think.
Oh,
and on Friday, no, maybe it was on Saturday. I've lost all track of everything. We were going into town for my parents' celebration, right, of their anniversary. And I was like, okay, so I'll actually be going into Halifax. Maybe one of the Halifax bookstores has it. So I look it up, and one of the Halifax bookstores, your favorite Bookmark, had it. They had one in stock. And I was like, well, hell, I'll buy it. So I bought the book. I dropped in really quickly, like picked it up from the thing, literally went directly to the dinner, had a great time, went back home. So that was on Saturday. So Sunday, yesterday.
Oh,
okay. It's yesterday. I think to myself, it's time to start a new book. What do I want to read? So I have a little stack of books that I'm like thinking about. And this was one of them. And I read and I'm like, do I want to read the synopsis? Because I've literally bought this book and not even read the synopsis. I was like, I'm not even going to think about it until later. I'm just going to buy it.
Yeah.
And I'm like, no, I shouldn't read the synopsis. I'm going to literally go into this blind. Oh, so awesome. I read the first page of it and I was so confused. I was like,
oh gosh,
what is going on? I don't understand. And so I read the second and the third page and I'm like, I don't get it. I read like, I read like four pages of it and I was starting to get into the groove of it. Okay. And I was like, this is so interesting. Like, I don't remember the last time I read a book without reading the synopsis, without at least without knowing the very basic plot. Like I said, the book is called The English Understand Wool. So I'm like, okay, I'm guessing it's a British book, maybe about knitting or maybe about sheep.
Let me
maybe
guess. It's about it's a nothing farmer. Like that.
It's not. It's really not. But then the cover has cake on it. So I was like, okay, maybe it's about like, I don't know, like, oh, like old ladies knitting and having tea and cake and
it's
stuff.
It's giving off a certain vibe for sure.
The other things I had to go off of were the fact that Max thought I would like it. Mm-hmm. So I was like, okay, so maybe it's about someone who doesn't do anything because those are, I like those types of books. I was like, I don't know what else he thinks I like though. And then I also had to go off the fact that he said I shouldn't look it up.
Yeah, so I'm like, okay, so something mysterious.
There's probably a little bit of a plot twist or something. And so maybe it's a crime or a mystery. But I was like, but I don't read crime or mystery. So I was like, I have no idea what's going on. So I was like, you know what? I'm committing. I'm doing this thing. So I read most of it yesterday and I finished it this morning.
Oh, nice.
And I loved it. I thought it was so good.
Awesome.
So here's, I'm gonna talk about this without spoiling it because I agree. It's so short, right? It's like I said, it's only, I think it's 69 pages. It's so short that if you know too much about it, it really will sap away a lot of its energy. So basically, here's my very non-spoilery thing. And if people listening are curious, they can look up to spoil themselves if they want to. Yeah. But it starts out with our main character, a young woman, talking about her mom. Okay. And you're hearing all these eccentricities about this woman. She really knows fabrics. She has a seamstress. She has like a house full of help, right? Like servants and maids and like butlers and stuff like that. She goes away for 6 months or 6 weeks at a time during Ramadan in order to give all of her help, her house help, time off.
Oh, yeah.
But she still pays them because she thinks that they deserve to get paid. So you're like, okay, it's a very eccentric woman, very, very rich. Mm-hmm. Like the levels of rich that none of us ever actually see or encounter.
Yeah.
We meet her at a hotel and she's had the hotel swap out the TV for a piano. So it's just, you know what I mean? Like it's like levels of rich class and all of this that it's just like very unattainable. And she seems like a very well accomplished woman, if we were to use that term from like Jane Austen stuff, right? And so I'm reading this book and I'm like, what's the twist? What's going to happen? What's the point? It's a little confusing at first and like a little wordy. And I'm just like, I don't get what's going on. And then very early on, like, I don't know, like 8 pages in or something. Well, maybe not that. Maybe it's a little... Okay, on page 16, believe me when I say this is not a huge spoiler. I think this is what would compel people to pick up this book. On page 16, all of a sudden, the voice completely changes and we're reading a letter.
Okay.
A letter that someone has written to the young woman who's writing about her mother writing about her life.
Okay.
And the letter is from a publicist that works at a publishing house.
Oh.
And she's saying, so far, your memoir is coming off quite cold. We need to know more about the emotions that your mother brought out in you. And I'd still like to recommend maybe you use a ghostwriter because, of course, the big incident is about to come up in the manuscript.
Oh.
And that might be traumatic for you to write about, so we could write it for you. And I'm like, oh, shit, this is so cute, right? This is really interesting. So suddenly the whole book changes because you're like, I'm reading the memoir of someone that, but that they are writing about their own life. And we know something's about to happen and it's big enough that they want to publish a memoir about it.
Yeah. Oh, that's very interesting.
So I won't spoil anything else. That is just kind of the setup of the book. And I would say I was thinking about this and I'm very proud of these comps. Basically, I believe that this story, this short story, this novella is my year of rest and relaxation meets The Count of Monte Cristo.
Oh!
So do with that information what you will. But I really enjoyed the book. And also, though, I really enjoyed the reading experience of it. I've, like I mentioned, I don't remember the last time if I've ever read a book without knowing anything about it. I mean, I must have done that a lot as a kid. Yeah. I don't think I remember really caring about synopses. I would just be like, I want to read this cover. So I would just read the book. Yeah. But it was in such a curated environment where it's like teachers and librarians picked books that we'd like, right? Like we were surrounded by books we would always enjoy. But it was so fun. And then the other thing I want to mention about this is the series. So it's published by a publisher called New Directions. And this series is called Storybook ND. They're published in these little hardcovers to look like facsimiles, like to look like those children's books.
I was wondering that because I was like, it looks like a kid's book. Not the design of the cover, but just the book itself looks like a kid's book.
Yeah. Do you remember those kids' books that we would read that were like little hardcovers with the like gold or silver spines?
They're
designed to look exactly like those. And it says Storybook, like on the back, Storybook ND, the pleasure of reading a book, a great book from cover to cover in an afternoon.
That's cute. I love that.
I loved it. I loved the feel of the book. Like as a little hardcover, it was so satisfying and like very tactile. I loved that it was so short because I did basically read it in an afternoon. You know, like I started it last night and I finished it this morning. It was if I hadn't been wallpapering, I would have done it all last night. It says on the website, it says created and curated by the writer and translator Jeannie Alahadef, Storybook ND, our new series of slim hardcover fiction books, aims to deliver the pleasure one felt as a child reading a marvelous book from cover to cover in an afternoon. Ugh!
I'm really intrigued by that. Now I want to look up the rest of the series.
So, there's two things I have to say. Number one, they came out on my birthday. So I feel like this series was destined for me. All of them, it says published September 27th, 2022. And I'm like, oh my God. And secondly, I have purchased two more of them because I've enjoyed this experience so much. I've bought two more completely based on the cover. And I didn't read the synopsis.
I don't think I'm gonna.
So there's six books in this series out. Some of the authors I've definitely heard of. So Clarice Lispector, she has one. Yoko Tawada has one.
Okay.
So I bought that one. I bought the Yoko Tawada one that's called Three Streets, which I actually think might be three short stories. And then I bought this one called Spadework for a Palace by Laszlo Krasznahorkai. I don't know that name. So it looks Eastern European and I cannot pronounce it.
Yeah, best of luck.
I have no idea what it's about. It has a really cool cover. And I was like, great. I had so much fun with Helen.
Need to hear.
I'll do it again. So yeah, I had such a fun little reading experience with this. I really recommend it to people. It is a little expensive for what it is.
Yeah.
They're $25.
Oof, yeah, that's a bit much.
Which is a little more is a little much for such a short reading experience. Mm-hmm. But you know what? It brought me a lot of joy.
Yeah.
I do really feel like these could be really good Christmas presents.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? Because it's like a beautiful book. It's a very lovely aesthetic thing, but you're not giving somebody a giant novel that they'll be stressed out and have to read. True. Like, it's 60 pages, so they'll definitely find time. Yeah, there you go. That was my fun reading experience this week.
That's beautiful.
Mm. Do you think that you'd read any?
I mean, based on what you just said, I think I would like the one that you read. So yeah. I think I definitely want to try that one at the very least, but I'll be looking up the series after this. But I'm curious. I'm like, should I look at the synopses or not?
I know. No, yeah, I don't know you shouldn't. For yet.
Yeah, we'll see. Maybe as a reward once I've read some more of the books I own.
That's true. Yeah,
it'd be a nice little you're treat, right. A little dessert. You can just buy it, read it.
Mwah. Okay, so I have some book news for us today.
Oh, heck yeah.
I only have two things, but I think they're both pretty interesting. So the first piece of news stumbled upon my Instagram, and I thought, it's kind of strange, but I'm going to talk about it.
All right.
So basically, here's the headline from the BBC, okay? Helena Bonham Carter becomes London Library's first female president.
Okay, so, what does that mean?
Yeah, exactly. Helena Bonham Carter is to become the first female president of a 181-year-old library that counts Charles Dickens as one of its founding members.
Huh.
So the London Library... I think, okay, define library, because I think when you and me and anyone listening probably thinks of a library, we think about public libraries. Yeah. But that's not what a library is, of course. The actual, just the word library. I mean, here we got Oxford saying, a building or room containing collections of books, periodicals, and sometimes films and recorded music for people to read, borrow, or refer to. So really, it's just a collection of material.
Yeah.
So the London Library is not a public library.
Oh.
It is a private library that you have to be a member of.
Whoa.
And it's pretty interesting. All of the like famous people that have been members of this library. Mm-hmm. This article includes some people like Virginia Woolf, Angela Carter, Daphne Du Maurier, Muriel Spark. So there's just a lot of huge different people that have been part of this library over its time. And it says here that her role, like I'm quoting this, quote, her role will involve working on the library's emerging writers and school programs.
Hmm.
So I am not too sure, of course, what that means. But it is interesting that it's Helena Bonham Carter.
I do love that.
And that it's still so weird to me how, like, in the year 2022, that obviously to us feels very advanced. But we still have these milestones every once in a while it's the first woman to do something. And you're like, what?
How is that possible?
It's kind of strange, mm-hmm. but... There you go.
I
thought that was kind of a cute little piece of information.
That's very cute.
Old Helena. Nice. Okay, this next piece. Ooh, I like this one. It's scandalous.
Uh-oh.
So this is from the Globe and Mail. Mm-hmm. And by the way, with both of these articles, I haven't said who the hell wrote them because it doesn't say. So they've made it difficult
for me.
They
don't want to be known.
But I'll link both of these stories in the show notes. The headline is Simon & Schuster apologizes for Bob Dylan replica autographs in $600 book.
Ooh.
Someone screwed up.
Yeah.
Okay. So here we go. Bob Dylan's publisher is offering refunds for a $600 special edition of his new book, quote, The Philosophy of Modern Song. That's the name of the book.
Okay.
Acknowledging that the allegedly hand-signed copies were not individually hand-signed.
Well, obviously.
To those who purchased the Philosophy of Modern Song limited edition, we want to apologize. And Simon Schuster, I guess, wrote this on Instagram. As it turns out, I love that quote. As it turns out, the limited edition book books do contain Bob's original signature, but in a penned replica form, which I don't understand what they think they mean there, but okay.
Yeah.
We are addressing this immediately by providing each purchaser with an immediate refund. So that's pretty suspicious and kind of hilarious. And I don't know. I just think that's really funny. Like, I don't think it's funny for the people that bought it. I don't think that's funny for them. I just think it's like, who messed up? Somebody messed up. Somebody was got confused.
Yeah.
Like, maybe Bob Dylan's people didn't know that he was supposed to sign every single one, so they just stamped him. Or maybe the publisher, didn't really tell him that they were supposed to do this. Or maybe the marketing person thought they were all individually signed, so said they were, but they actually aren't. Or maybe they originally thought that they could be, but then Bob Dylan was like, I'm not going to sign 1,000 books.
Yeah, that's
like,
too much. He's old.
Either way, somebody messed up, and I love that.
Yeah, like, that's incredible. A big thing, especially, like, such an expensive book. Like, you've got to get your shit figured out, people.
Yeah, seriously. $600.
Oh, that sucks. I feel
that's
bad for
crazy.
That sucks a lot.
I find that really interesting. So I thought those were two pretty fun little stories for us today on book news. A little break from our typical book adaptation news.
True.
That seems to just be the way these always go. Mm-hmm. So there you have it. We started out by saying that this was going to be our best episode ever, and I think we did that.
I think we nailed it.
I think we really
can't top
nailed
this.
It.
Yeah.
Can't top this. We're now going to go record our Patreon mini podcast, The Movie Tub, where we talk about a show or movie that we've watched recently. What are you going to talk about?
I forgot to think about this, so I will go with the show that I've been watching. I've been watching The Great Canadian Baking Show.
Oh, okay.
I keep forgetting what it's
fun.
Called because it's different from Bake Off. Yeah, but yeah. I've been watching that because it's on Netflix here in Canada.
Yes.
Bake Off, I think, actually might be on CBC Gem, so I do technically have access to it, but it's not as convenient as Netflix. So I'm going to watch that after. But I'm really enjoying it. It's super fun, super wholesome and lovely. And Dan Levy is one of the hosts for the first two seasons, so that was really fun. I just finished season 3. I've been kind of...
Oh, wow. So you're deep in.
I'm pretty deep in. This is why I haven't been reading, is because, like, all I've been doing is playing video games and watching The Great Canadian Baking Show. That's all I have the mind space for right
and
now.
And signing mortgage documents.
Exactly. That's all I'm good for right now.
Well, I'm going to be talking about The Lord of the Rings, Rings of Power.
Ooh.
I watched the first episode, and boy, do I have a lot to say.
I'm excited to hear about it.
All right. Thanks so much to everyone for listening and supporting the podcast. We're super grateful to everyone who has checked out our merch or supports us on Patreon or, of course, shares the podcast, because that's the biggest thing, I guess. Like, sharing it with people that you think will enjoy it is the only way we can really grow. Mm-hmm. So thank you to everyone.
Thank you.
We hope you have a great day, and we'll talk to you next week.
Bye.